where the culture and the attitudes are, generally speaking, not God acknowledging, so that the church seems more and more out of step with the community in which it sits. And we link this to the situation the Israelites found themselves in Babylon, with feelings of isolation, wishing for a return to the old ways, realizing things wouldn't necessarily be the same. In week one, we looked at how we as a church felt in present-day society. In week two, we considered the challenge of how to live in and be part of the community and yet be true to our faith. And last Sunday, Marcus spoke from Isaiah 65 on the tremendous promise God gives to those who trust him for the future. I'm not going to repeat Marcus' sermon for two reasons. We haven't got time. And I could never do as well as he did, so I won't do that. But what I want you to do is just read this fantastic passage of Isaiah 65. Fantastic promises. A new heaven and a new earth. So please turn with me to Isaiah 65, starting at verse 17. A new heaven and a new earth. God says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and his people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies over 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain, or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." What a great word that is, isn't it? "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all of my holy mountain, says the Lord." Says the Lord. The people had a stark choice as they realized this exile was long term, over two generations. Therefore, the people had to make a choice between becoming assimilated into Babylon, into their society, that culture, or to live in the light of God's promises, as we read in Isaiah 65. There were tremendous promises of good things to come, a new heaven and a new earth. However, for these people in exile, they had to consider the realities of life now, living under subjection, or relying on the hope of future blessing. I think this is a very difficult study, a very challenging study. How to deal with day-to-day difficulties which test our faith and our attitudes as we live in the world, and yet maintain the desire to reflect the fullness of our experience and dependence upon the promises of God. Two sides. And so we're going to be looking at a few questions with our groups in just a moment, and then we'll pray later on. about the things that we talked about, and anything else which is upon your heart. Some of you, certainly group leaders, have been given this book by Adrian or Matt, most of you. I suspect not many of you have read it yet, but this is fantastic. This is such a challenge at home in exile, talking about what it's like to be a people in exile and how it means that we may have to look at very strong challenges of how we do church in the future if we are going to be reaching out into the community. We can just stay in the huddle like some of those people in exile could have done. But that's not what God calls us to do. He calls us to reach out to others in the community to bring the challenges of our faith in Jesus. And the question is, how do we do that? And we may need to do it in different ways. And this book I found really challenging. So if you can get a copy, borrow a copy, it's only, I think someone said this before, 74 pages. A couple of hours. Really good read. So I would challenge you to try and get hold of it. You can borrow mine, or a group leader's, or I think Matt's got a couple still. Just take it and read it, because that fits in so well with all we've been talking about over these past weeks and in the next two or three weeks. So, here we go. We want to go into groups because it's 8:30, and we want to finish discussion around about 10:10. We have a few minutes for prayer. So, two great group leaders down here. I can see Joel and Steve. Must be somebody else. Should be fine. Diane, thank you. So if you want to just depart around, and if you can find a group leader, no more than 8, we won't worry about that, we're probably about 6 or 7, but try and make it under 8 in a group. And if you want some questions, there are some here, if you want to take and have a look in your group. Do they want some? Yeah, take a few.